Hello, everyone. I hope you like the things we're going to say.
Yeah, we are Lee and Herring here on 1FM with 1 hour of chat. We've got some great music and some rubbish music as well.
Lee and Herring, better than Bruno Brooks, not as good as John Peel.
This download is brought to you by www.fistoffun.net.
Thank you.
Next program, please.
Thank you.
Evening.
Don't call us, we'll call you.
Thank you.
Once upon a time, there were three little men who went to the Comedy Academy.
And then you say a swear word, and people will laugh.
Right, swear nice. Words.
Where they were assigned some very hazardous duties.
Lee, I want a joke about John Major being grey now.
He's grey.
Good, very good.
Herring, Eddie Large needs a joke quickly.
How about that one where he does a Deputy Dog impression as if Deputy Dog hadn't been off our screens for the last 15 years?
Yes.
Bainham, Terry Wogan needs a show opening one-liner about Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts are horrible.
Oh, no.
But I took them away from all that. Now they work for me. My name's Matthew Bannister, controller of Radio 1. 1FM. And I call them Matthew Bannister's Leon Herring and Peter Bainham. Although he's not as good, obviously.
Lee and Herring, the illegitimate Siamese twin offspring of the Queen Mother, and thus rightful joint kings of Britain and the Falkland Islands.
Hello, I'm Stuart Lee.
And I'm known as Richard Herring.
Yeah.
Wow, the illegitimate Siamese twin offspring of the Queen Mother.
That's right, Rich, yeah.
I didn't know about that.
Well, we are.
If she's 94 now,
yeah,
that means she was 67 when she had me and 68 when she had you.
Yeah, well, it takes an old woman a long time to deliver something the size of Siamese twins, Rich, and yeah, the muscles get very tired as you get old as well.
But a year?
Yeah.
Very long labour.
It is.
Who's our father,
like a
then?
Whale or something.
Is it?
Well,
because King George, believe, kept me wrong, died in 1952.
He did, and looking at this document, I see our father is, in fact, Adam Ant from Adam and the Ants.
Really?
Yeah.
So, as this joint kingship thing, how does that work? Who gets what bits?
Well, you're the oldest Siamese twin, right? So you get the best bits.
All right. So what do I get?
You get the Falkland Islands, because they're the best, Rich.
And
I get the best. I get everything else.
But Falkland Islands?
Yeah, well, you know, you should be very pleased with that. You're the king of the Falkland Islands and all its attendant things.
Can I have the Isle of Man as well?
No. This is new from Velocity Girl. It's called Drug Girls.
Go on. Be the king of Balham?
No, Pete, Rich is the king of Balham as well as the Falkland Islands.
Am I? Oh, great. Well, you live in Balham, so my first law is for you to have your legs slapped now by me. Ow! Yeah, take that.
That once had got away, good ones are there.
phoning competition concerns genetic engineering.
Yeah, one day the technology will exist to shrink the heads of celebrities and then graft them onto insects, I expect.
Yeah, and the British Celebrity Head Insect Grafting Council wants to know which head should be grafted onto which body first.
So phone in with your suggestion of which celebrity head onto which insect body.
Yeah, the best one will win some things and be the first one when the technology becomes available to be done.
Call in on 071 306 0222 now.
Yeah.
Velocity Girl, if you fancy writing to us at all, don't forget our address for the next month is The Pleasance Theatre, 60 The Pleasance, Edinburgh, EH89TJ, Leon Herring, The Pleasance Theatre, etc, etc.
Plus, we're going to Edinburgh
next
week.
We're going to Edinburgh, yes, so come and see
tonight.
Us
tonight.
And the recap on that phoning competition, if you can imagine what celebrity's shrunken head would look good on the head of whatever insect, ring in on 071 306 0222.
To give you an example, you might want the head of David Yip, the Chinese detective, on the body of a stick insect.
Just an idea. Yep. If you can't get to a phone, you can always send us a drawing. Just cut out the head of a celebrity and draw the insect round it, and we'll give a prize for the best drawing that we get next week. So yep. That's celebrity head and insect.
Remember, that's not just for fun. The British Celebrity Head Insect Grafting Council will make the winning entry literally their first insect celebrity head. So if it was David Yip, that would be the first one. The technology for putting stick insect's head on David Yip's body is a long way off, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and what we could do is just cut off David Yip's head and put a small insect next to it without shrinking his head, but that wouldn't be any fun for anyone. Pete, you're in tonight from Balham. Any ideas about those celebrity insect head things?
I was thinking you could have Baz Bamigboy on, like, the body of a gnat.
Baz Bamigboy, who's that then?
He's a man on Whale On. He does, like, sort of gossip.
If you think you can top that, do ring in with your suggestions.
Can,
I think you probably can.
A lot of people have been writing in for Pete this week. Yeah. Joe Williams wrote in saying, Pete gets all the girls, and she sent you, Pete, a picture of a bee.
Yeah, which
and
is nice.
We'll be tearing that up later.
And Rhiannon has sent you these coins, because she knows you can't get out of Balham. These are foreign coins. You might like the colours there, have those. And also, Paul Hitchcock has written in to ask us to be less respectful to Pete.
But I should go and take
so
care
I will,
of
I'll go and get him.
Sort him out now.
Moving across the studio now.
Tamsin Clayton wrote in saying that she wants to meet Charlie, Pete's brother, even if he's a fictional character, because she finds fictional characters quite sexy in a non-existential kind of way. Pete?
Is he real, Pete?
He is real, yeah, but he's disappeared, so...
He has genuinely disappeared, hasn't he?
In a way, but he does exist.
Well, Helen from Wootton-under-Edge, I'm on Pete's microphone now, which is different than all ours, because he's not quite as good, so I hope I don't sound stupid like he does. Helen from Wootton-under-Edge has written in to say, on our show, you're sort of a dull, depressed man, but on Chris Morris' show on Wednesday, you're all excited. How does that happen, Pete? Do you know?
Chris Morris, like, puts drugs in my head.
He drills a hole in your head, doesn't he?
Yeah,
and injects you with, this is the real Pete Bainham, a 30-year-old man, he lives in Balham, has no friends.
Right, and we're back with Pete later. Plate of the week this week for me is the free McDonald's commemoration plate in the News of the World. And if you were out and about today, you'd have seen the Today newspaper was down to 10p in price.
Yeah.
But it's still not worth it. Even at that. But do call in if you've got any celebrity on the head of an insect ideas on 071 306 0222. This is Ted Chippington from his lone single one album that he ever did. He was the godfather of alternative comedy as well.
Along with John Hegley from last week.
And everyone else, yeah. And certainly...
You can have two godfathers,
they can't. We copied him a lot. This is a cover of the old Alvin Stardust song. It's called Feel Like Buddy Holly.
Who's the godmother?
I was at the airport the other day, meeting Alvin Stardust, and I saw him standing over in the distance. Made my way over to see him. I got there. He was looking a bit sad. I said, what's wrong, Alvin? He said, well, I've been waiting here all day, watching the planes come into land. I couldn't stand to see them land without you. I said, ah, well, I got here yesterday. Thought I'd get the train here today to meet you, you know. Altered arrangements. But I'm here now. No need to be sad. He said to me, feel like Buddy Holly then. Said, why's that, Alvin? Said, well, it's raining in my heart. Said, ah, well, you know, shouldn't have been waiting outside for me. Should have gone inside the cafe. I've got tea while you were waiting. Only yourself to blame, I said to him. And I said to him, I know how Paul McCartney felt, actually, Alvin. When he got up to say, you know, that can't be that. You should check into the Heartbreak Hotel, Alvin, you know. Just get yourself a game of solitaire. I'm sure you know how to play that, you know. Not too hard to learn anyway. But, you know, good game to play when you're depressed, I said to him. Good hotel to go to as well. He said, with a tear in his eye, I think I'll take your advice, I said. And off he went. Thought I'd follow him. For a good day's entertainment, I thought. The hotel, sat in the bar, come up to me again, said, you know what, Ted, I still feel like Buddy Holly, said, why is that, Tommy? Said, well, I've got changed it, you know, so the truth still, got a bit of pain in my heart still, said, well, you know, that's how I got up to your room, got yourself changed, and then I pulled Simon's belt, when he wrote that song, the sound of silence. No, nothing at all.
Danuk Zemkis and Arthur M. Seahand, Hollywood producers.
So, this guy, he came to us with a
Richard
script.
Curtin.
And it was called Four Weddings
and a Funeral.
And a Funeral. And we said to him, we like this script. We like it a lot.
There's a couple of little changes, Danuk said, that we need to make
couple
this.
Of little changes. First up, this effete English man, this
shy man,
Hugh Grant. We want to change him from this man into a large bear with a little hat.
People like bears.
They like
hats.
Bears.
And then the Andy McDowell character, we make her into a small bear, a second smaller bear.
A little bear. People like bears. Sidekick. And then the other guests and the vicar, we change them to campers and a ranger.
Rangers in a park.
In a park. Yep. And this is the selling point. We don't call it Four Weddings and a Funeral.
We
call it
name.
Yogi Bear. The movie.
Yogi Bear, and we said to him, then, Richard, then, you have a hit on your hands. What you have now is a trussed-up
turkey.
Thanksgiving.
Turkey. Don't know what happened to him. He went away.
Who the hell was that guy?
Lee and Herring on 1FM, wasting another valuable hour of your life.
And we got our first insect celebrity head call. It's Thomas from Ipswich. What's your suggestion?
Well, the celebrity was Michael Ball.
Yeah.
Rather than grafting his head, you know, the technology doesn't exist yet. I thought we could just cut it off because technology does exist to do that now.
Mm. Right, and any
rather
insect?
Rather than put it on a stick insect, actually just put it on a stick.
On a stick?
Yeah.
That's quite good.
Michael
Thanks a lot.
Ball's head on a stick. We've got Paul from Dunfrees on the line now. Paul, your celebrity is?
Bob Harris from the Ogre Whistle Test.
Whispering.
Interesting one, yeah. And which insect?
A red ant.
Whispering Bob Harris from the Old Grey Whistle Test grafted onto the body of a red ant.
Thanks very much.
Two interesting suggestions.
We'll let you know who's won at the end of the show.
Yeah, last week, if you were listening, you'll remember that me and Rich tried to run an illegal lottery. We suggested that you should send in money to us in cash, and then we divide it up and send you, whoever sent the most in, we send you half of what the total we got was.
We got quite a few. We got a bit of stuff in, not as much as we hoped. Richard Sutherland, I think it was, sent us 2p, which was a bit hopeful winning there with 2p.
Yeah.
Hoping that lots of people have sent in 1p, not thinking
that 2p might be sent in. But
Rhiannon sent us 3p, 1p more than Richard Sutherland, but not enough.
Not enough, because Stephen Taylor sent in 10p, but it was no good because it was an old 10p. We wanted to current English currency,
yeah, no good.
Unfortunately, British currency.
Stuart Ross sent us 100 quid. Well, that's a lot of money, but it was a Monopoly money.
So again, doesn't count.
Real money.
David Hughes was quite good. He sent us £2.28, but he sent it all in 1p's and 2p's that he'd stolen from his roommate in Hull University.
Yeah.
The postage of this cost £2.35, more than he sent. Looked like he was going to win with that.
Good. But then, John Kelly, £2.50 in cash,
so
came in. So the total halved. John Kelly won there.
And John Kelly wins £2.45.
5p less than
he sent in. Which is 5p less, plus the cost of a stamp. So, you know, but, and also he sent that in £2 and a 50, but we're sending it all back in 1p because we can't be bothered to cash in those 1p.
That's right. So ultimately, what have you learned? We're the only winners, me and Rich. We made £1.22 each out of that. The lesson you've learned is the only real winners in gambling are the organisers, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But that £1.22 will buy us a can of lager each nearly on the train tonight, and while we drink the first three quarters of that can each, don't worry, listeners, we will be thinking of you all.
This is a band where all the men have had a lemon grafted onto their middle-class American student bodies. It's the Lemonheads.
Yeah, they're really good, but they'd be a lot better if they weren't fronted by the crack-smoking fool Evan Dando, who's so unpopular there's a whole magazine anti him in America. But if you hate him, write in and tell us why.
And he is stupid, because in this song he says his name is Luke A. And it can't, no one will have a name like that. Malcolm X is okay, but Luke A, but not Luke A. That's stupid.
My name is Luke A. I live on the second floor. I live upstairs with you. Yes, I think you've seen me before. If you hear something late at night, some kind of trouble, some kind of fight, just don't ask me what it was. Just don't ask me what it was. Just don't ask me what it was. Maybe it's because I'm clumsy. I try not to talk too loud. Maybe it's because I'm crazy. I try not to act too proud. They all did it until you cry. After that, you don't ask why. Don't ask why. Just don't argue anymore. My name is Luca. I live on the second floor.
The Lemonheads are a cover of Suzanne Vega's Luca. About 3 years ago, 1991, me and Ben Moore, who was on the other week playing a space painter, went to see the Lemonheads at the Bristol Beer Keller, and Ben got a vintage 1950s cine camera nicked. If you know anything about that, let me know.
Very interesting, Stu.
This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. Had there been an actual emergency, your local station, in conjunction with the relevant federal authorities, would have broadcast the following pre-recorded announcement.
Herring and Lee on 1FM. Beneath contempt, above sea level.
Great, and now it's time for Kevin Eldon with this week's listings. Hi, Kev.
Hello, you two. Dogs. Many inner-city children grow up without ever having seen a real dog. So Simon Harris has created the Isle of Dogs, an artificial island in East London which is inhabited entirely by packs of different breeds of dogs. This gives unaccompanied schoolchildren the chance to see what a self-governing land of canine creatures is really like, as well as demonstrating to them firsthand the dangers of allowing domesticated animals to be set free where there's no food or shelter. And Do you like big cocks? If so, then some of the biggest cocks in the world will be on display at the National Rare Agricultural Fowl Centre in Glasgow this week. Remember, although this event is being held at the Agricultural Fowl Centre, there'll be no birds on display, just big cocks. Men's big cocks. And finally, how does it feel to be an eel? If you'd like to know, then come along to Ken Zetti's Eel Workshop in the River Axe in Somerset on Wednesday at 7:45 p.m. Here you can go underwater, slither around, and get a fair idea of how it might feel to be an eel. Well, that's it for this week, and whatever you do this week, enjoy.
So, no hairs in your events diary this week, not any hairs anyway this week, Kev, I know.
Yeah, well, I don't always have hair in my events by any means.
But you do, Kev, don't you?
Well, not this week. All right.
That plastic bag, don't they?
No, leave that alone. There's nothing in the bag at all, right?
Yeah. It's a bag full of hair.
God, I wouldn't like to be sleeping in a sleeper with Kevin tonight. I think it's you, Pete, who's going to be there. Don't be surprised if you end up in Edinburgh completely bald.
Danuk Zemkis and Arthur M. Seahand, Hollywood producers.
This guy came to see us. He was called Brandon Wheatley.
Brandon Wee.
And he had this idea about a film called The Crow, yeah, about like a flying dead crow guy from the dead. And it was a good idea.
We said, but we just want to make a couple of little changes to your script.
To make it a hit. And like, I like the martial arts element of the main character. We keep that, but we change him from a crow man in black to a little dog in a red bathrobe. You know, yep, people, they like dogs.
They don't like cats. They like crows. They like dogs. Not crows, they like dogs. Yep. And so on this little prostitute girl you've got in your script, what say we change that to a little cat? Because people like cats.
They like cats.
Not dogs, they like cats in a film.
And then I said to him, Brandon, the selling point of this film, we don't call it The Crow, we call it Hong Kong Phooey, the movie.
The movie.
The movie.
Then you got a hit.
Then you got a hit. What you got now is a turkey.
A dead owl.
An owl.
Dead in a gutter.
A Thanksgiving owl.
Don't know what happened to him, that guy.
Come and worship at the Church of Lee and Herring.
Thanks for all your letters that have come in this week. We had a mad thought from Paul Hitchcock, who wrote in and said, when you're in a car and turn a corner, imagine the world is turning underneath you and that the car isn't really moving. I've tried that, and it's very hard to shake it once you've started doing it. I don't advise it. Coming up next, the Incredible String Band were a 60s group that tried to combine elements of all world musics. Occasionally they were successful, but this song is an utter failure. It's called The Water Song. Listen to this and look out for what is possibly the only ever recorded water solo.
One of the guys in this band wrote this song, and the other said, oh, yeah, we'll, like, put it on the album, probably if there's room. There might not be, though, and then there was some room.
They unfortunately had to do it.
Yeah, they had to put it on.
God made a song when the world was new. Water's laughter sings it through. Oh, wizard of changes, teach me the lesson of flow.
This is the water solo.
This is the water solo now, yeah. Have a listen to this.
Do you think that's the water playing the instrument?
No, it could be.
It's good, isn't it?
What's bad about it, though, is it doesn't... Like, the water was obviously supposed to be, like, a really natural, mystical thing, but it just sounds like someone splashing around in a toilet or something.
Well, so even the water in a toilet is magical, isn't it? So still the wisdom changes, this water. It's still...
Well, even if it's got stuff floating about
it. Yeah, it's still the mother of life. It is. And, you know, even if it was a bit of dank water in a puddle with sort of dirt in it, that would still be there.
Mm. Sounds like an elastic band with, like, being dropped in water.
But, you know, it's odd someone being paid to do this.
Listen to when the singing starts again now. Yeah. It's really stupid when he starts singing.
Coming up in a bit.
God made made a song when the world was new. Waters, laughter sings it through. Wizard of changes, water, water, water.
Right, we've got another phone call. It's Nick and Dave from Romsey. Hello.
Hello.
What are you? What do you think?
Well, I think you should take Cindy Crawford's head, cut it off and stick it onto the body of a pubic lice. And that
could
way people would pay for Cindy Crawford to crawl around their pubes.
Get off the line quickly! It's a horrible, mad person!
It's all right, if we're allowed to say that thing about earlier that Kevin said, I'm sure he's allowed
what,
to say
about
that.
The cop?
Yes.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's Art Week, the Turner Prize. We'll tell you when at the end, remember. The Turner Prize this week, and a lot of talk about art.
Yeah, because I personally think all modern art is rubbish.
Whereas I like all of it, unequivocally.
Difference of opinion there.
That's
between
right.
The two of us.
And with relevance to that, we've got with us in the studio tonight our first guest, Nikki Mendley, controversial artist. Hello, Nikki.
Hello.
Who's in the forerunning for the Turner Prize. What have you been up to lately then, Nikki?
Yeah, well, I put some Sick in a Cup in a house in Manchester, and I called it Sick in a Cup in House in Manchester.
Yeah.
But I'm not telling anyone where it is. That's part of the exhibit, to go around asking people if they have some Sick in a Cup, and if they do, can you see it.
What's that about? That sounds ridiculous.
Well, you won't be able to understand it, Richard, because only clever people understand it.
I can understand it. Because it's like the Emperor's New Clothes or something. You have to be clever to understand it.
But the Emperor's New Clothes was a con where, you know, it's to show the hypocrisy and stuff.
Yeah, it's like that, but it's not exactly the same. The hypocrisy element doesn't come into it.
You have to hurry up to see the set, because it'll only be on display until Wednesday,
when
then it'll be destroyed by the council.
Okay, yeah.
And you're doing something in Brighton.
Yes, that's right. I'll be making sculptures in salt of household appliances on the beach in Brighton, and then I'll be throwing them into the sea.
I think I've got this one. Is this about the forces of nature, you know, which are stronger than our modern society? Is that
no.
It's about how science is stronger than nature, isn't it?
No.
What is it about?
Very
then?
Wrong. Well, words are too inconsequential to describe such a major work, and I refuse to do so. But you must hurry up, because on August the 20th, the stretch of sea is going to be destroyed by the council.
Sick.
Pete?
Sick.
What?
Yeah.
I just wondered, because I found a glass of wine, a glass of old wine on a wall the other day, and there was like a cigarette end in it, and I thought, well, I'll try that, and I drank it, and I was sick. Down my front, and it went outside of the glass and on my foot. Is that art?
Mm. Do you feel like an artist?
I did a picture once when I was a kid of like a lamb.
But that's not just a lamb.
No, there was
it wasn't
a bee.
Just a lamb.
There was a bee there as well, because they're easy.
Right, well, we'll have to leave the discussion. We'll be back later with Nikki. Now, coming up, the Buzzcocks. This is one from all the lads back in, for all the lads back in Cheddar. This is Orgasm Addict. Listen to the words. They weave a message.
Well, you tried it just for once, found it all right for kicks. But now you find out that it's a habit that sticks, and you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Sneaking in the back door with dirty magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on your jeans. And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. You're getting that stuff, but you still keep it beating. You meet your boss, and you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. You're a kid Casanova, you're a no Joseph Pizza. Live a life fucking yourself to death. Orgasm addict.
Hitchcock's Orgasm Addict. Evening session, then. Steve Lamette. On the phone, I think we've got John from Liverpool or something. Hello?
Hello?
John from Liverpool, yeah?
Yep.
What insect, what celebrity?
Well, it's more of a crustacea, really.
Well, that's not an insect,
yeah,
is it?
It's a hermit crab.
Yeah.
You pop Jeremy Beadle's head on that.
Who, sorry?
Jeremy Beadle.
Jeremy Beadle's head on a hermit crab.
Terrible idea. Terrible bad idea. Celebrity, not an insect. Good one from Pat Clark. He wants Lee and Herring onto a mackerel, but again, that is an insect. Coming up now is the news with Gillian Joseph, followed, of course, as usual, by the news for your name.